It's always good. All right, we ready to go? Good. All right, we're going to continue our series on preaching and ministry. If you're not a regular of this class, which means you're under the age of 50, that's what we're doing. We've been talking about preaching and ministry. So we are in Matthew chapter 6 today, and Jesus gives some information on worry is what we're going to talk about today. So worry. I took this picture. It is really, that's how it looked. Dark on one side, light on the other. Sun's getting close to setting. That's the railroad bridge in there. I took it from Black Point Drive, and Black Point Drive, for about as long as I can remember, is my go-to place to get away from everybody, to get away from everything. Sometimes I just need, you need time to sort stuff out. I drive through Black Point Drive. I like looking at the ducks. The views are always amazing, especially like that with sunsets and stuff like that. Hi, Rachel. So anyways, that's my place, so it kind of goes with the don't worry thing. So if you have to leave or you just really don't care to stick around and listen to the rest of it, we've got something else better to do. Here's a lesson in a nutshell. We're going to talk about Jesus and worry. We're going to talk about worry about life in verses 25 through 27. We're going to worry about clothing, 28 through 30. Worry about tomorrow, 31 through 34. Jesus identified worry as a hindrance to relying on God. He understood that those who worry don't fully trust God, and he showed worry shouldn't characterize his followers. So that's it. You got the whole lesson right there. So no secret. Chuck? Does she listen to these recordings? There are some world-class warriors out there, and really that's what we're talking about. Should you be concerned about things? And you should. You should be concerned about your life. You should be concerned about your clothing. You should be concerned about your physical needs. You should be concerned about tomorrow. But worrying is a whole different level. What if? Boeing has a whole division of warriors, don't they? Is that true? I've always figured Boeing has a whole division of warriors. No. Yeah. Some of the stuff that I you got to fill this survey out. We're going to come down and check you on this. I'm like, oh, give me a break. So it always seems to me that they're worried about everything. Yes, it's beyond that kind of stuff. Anyways, yeah, right now is the time of year I fill out reports on conflict minerals. I have to assert that I did not use tin, gold, tantalum, and something else. No, it's not beryllium, but if I used any of them, I have to certify which mine that material came out of, because they want to make sure it didn't come out of the Congo and support a civil war. And this isn't my customers. This is flowed down by the United States government. So for every year, I have to certify this. And you'd think that that would be just good enough, but it's the format changes every year, and sometimes I spend hours filling out their format to say, no, I didn't do it. Yeah. Yeah. Because there's no quantity level either. There's no threshold of you supplied less than 10 pounds. No, you know, no. Yeah. So anyways, the sin of worry, I get this at the beginning and the end, but the sin of worry is both universally condemned and overwhelmingly practiced. We know we shouldn't worry, but many do. Some worry about the past, some worry about the present, some worry about the future. A better course of action would be to learn to rely more upon God. When it comes to things in the past, we must trust that God is willing to forgive us when we repent. We may not be able to undo a wrong that has been committed, but we can be forgiven. I got 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Oops. When it comes to the future, we must trust that God is capable of keeping the promises he has made. I got 2 Peter 1:3 through 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he was granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. So anyways, worrying about the future, we got to trust God that he will keep his promises. And when it comes to the present, we must trust that God will give us the strength to endure whatever trial comes our way. James 1, 2 through 6. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So anyways, that sets it up. So, starting into our lesson text, Matthew 6, 24 through 25. If we back up one verse to 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So right after Jesus tells his followers that they must choose between serving money and serving God, he tells them that this choice to serve God requires fully placing their confidence in him. So can self-reliance or money always supply the things we feel we need in life? No. You can't always supply that, can you? I know. They're simple questions, and they should be. Yeah. But you can't always, that's the discussion I've had with Elijah as he's picking a direction for his life. I said, you can't always rely on yourself. If you become unhealthy, he says his dad is now getting a little older and suffering from gout. As you know, gout would keep you from doing a lot of manual type jobs. So again, there's a self-reliance that cuts into that. How about money? Can you have enough money to buy everything you think you need in life? Chuck? No.
The reason is your aspirations are going up.
Yeah.
Whatever you have, if I just have a little more.
Yeah.
If that's your whole focus.
If that's your whole focus,
you'll never have enough.
Yeah.
I
remember one.
You said that in the book of Ecclesiastes.
Yes. He had it all. God was the only answer. And that's what, Ecclesiastes, Solomon had all the money that you could ever ask for. He had tons of money. Tons of women, education, entertainment. Yeah, anything and everything. It was at his disposal. As king and a rich king, he had it all. He had wisdom, but the only thing that found satisfactory was God. The only thing there. And that's really where it goes to. I got this quote from the Fourfold Gospel. Having warned against a double vision and a double service, Jesus now warns against a double mind as to the comparative value of the benefits to be derived from the service of God or the service of mammon. By single-mindedness, we can find peace, for only God is to be relied upon. But double-mindedness, we fall to worrying, for mammon will fail to supply those things which we feel we need. So if you're only focused on God, you'll be fulfilled. If you think you're going to try to serve God and money, you'll find that the money won't fulfill you. So, all right, questions get a lot easier from there, I promise. What are some legitimate concerns in life? Anybody got any legitimate concerns? John says he does. What? Name one. Okay, financial security. There you go. That's why you're going to work tomorrow, right? Okay. Financial security is one legitimate concern in life. How about something else?
Health.
There you go. But health's a big thing. You're blessed that you're healthy enough to get to where you are today. Elijah? Education? Yeah, education's a big thing. We were talking about the Navy this morning. With a college degree, he could start out as an officer. So if you have that, and what he expects to get from the Navy is an education to be logistics specialist. But he doesn't know how to be a logistics specialist today, do you? Not much. How many cups of coffee are sitting next to you? Just one. There you go. You got it. It's training day one. All right. But I know Elijah, to be a logistics specialist on a submarine, we've talked about it. He's got his basic training to have to go through. He'll have to go through a sub-school. He'll have to go through a logistics school that we know of. Those are three things that he'll have to go to just to learn how to do the basic job that you know the first day he's on the job, he'll be responsible for the amount of toilet paper on the submarine, you know, or the number of eggs, right? So long before they can ever trust him with how much uranium's on that submarine, to start with the bottom. Okay, any other legitimate concerns? Chuck?
Spiritual growth.
Concern a lot of times for yourself, for your family. You know, as a parent, I never really thought I'd be so concerned for others. You know, concern for my own kids, that is expanded to other kids. As I become an elder, that is expanded to a couple hundred people, you know. Plus, whoever comes in next, that's a legitimate concern. Are we teaching enough to bring them to salvation? Are we direction where we're going? Is it fulfilling? And there's a whole lot of stuff to think about. Anything else? I drove a Jeep in the worst thunderstorm I was ever in. A legitimate concern was getting there. That was the nastiest thunderstorm ever, and it was a borrowed Jeep. And if you've ever driven a Jeep, they drive like this on the interstate. And with rain coming down at, who knows, 3 inches a minute or something, and lightning popping all around, there's legitimate concerns. I'm sure Herbert's had problems like that with trucks, driving a semi through sleet and snow and prairie dogs and everything else. There you go. All right. Worry is inappropriate or wrong when it's misdirected, when it's in the wrong proportion or indicates a lack of trust in God. It's a latter sense that God, that Jesus addresses here. So that's really what we're looking at is this crazy amount of, I just pulled a shoemaker there and blacked it out. 25. Is not life more than food and a body more than clothing? So I got four questions on there. Do you have people in your life who can talk, that you can talk to about anything and everything? Can you trust them with the biggest failures and your biggest worries? Can you trust their viewpoint for advice? What makes these people trustworthy? I throw them all at the same time because whatever. So are there people that, we'll start with, do you have people in your life you can talk to about anything and everything? If you're married, there she goes. She points at Rufus. There you go. You did not point at Chase, I noticed. I haven't quite got there yet, huh? You know, that's a good point. As my kids get older, I find I talk to them about more things, things that I'm concerned with in their own lives and stuff. But, yeah, we just haven't got there yet. You guys been married 50-plus years. 56 years. He probably already... Wow, you started school together when you're six. It's a long time. But you know, your concerns and worries, your anythings and everythings, he knows most of that already. And that's part of it. Can you trust these people's viewpoint for advice? These people that you can trust with anything. Can you trust their viewpoint? Hopefully. Maybe. Not always.
That trust usually comes partially that advice is not what's best necessarily for them, but they know you well enough to know what's best for you.
Yeah, that's a good point. They know you well enough to know what's best for you, rather than if it was me, this is what I would do. Yeah. And sometimes it is, you're still gonna get that story anyways, but I know Elijah talked to, if you've served in the military in this church, Elijah has probably talked to you about the military. Is that true? Yeah. Before he made the big signature on a piece of paper, he probably talked to just about everybody that had any military experience to find out if that was really for him. So, and it should be. So what makes these people trustworthy? Well, like Chuck said, they know you better than you know you sometimes. Or they will look their own experience and they might know what's best for you. John? Yeah, I can't talk about that because I made another promise. That's a good trustworthiness. You can probably trust them with something. That's good. That is, you know, it's a good sign. They're not just gossiping and spreading good stuff. Anything else? Elijah? That's a good point. That's really a good point. I'm probably not going to, the guy that's sitting up here that changes out all the time with the dog, I'm probably not going to go to him for life or financial advice, right? Some of these people, you're right. You can judge them by who they hang out with. You can see it in their actions. You know, if they seem to have things together, you can trust them with that. That's a good answer. Is God trustworthy enough to turn to with the same concerns? You knew it was coming to that, didn't you? He just doesn't answer the same way. I think that sometimes that's the biggest thing. We can take them to him, but we don't audibly hear the answer. Even though that one guy said he uses God for a GPS. But anyways, we don't audibly hear this kind of stuff. We don't see the handwriting on the wall like in Daniel. That kind of stuff doesn't happen. But can we trust him? Can he impress that upon our hearts to make those kind of decisions, to take away our worry? I guess that's even really where we're going to. Can we trust him with our lives so we don't have to worry about stuff? And the answer should be yes, or it is yes from us. Trusting God follows easily enough to those with the courage to take a realistic assessment of one's place in the world. Those subject to accident and disease, to earthquake and famine, to warfare and crime, need no reminder that life is tenuous. They need a friend whose providential guidance never fails. They need a Savior who will forgive their sins and welcome them into heaven. Trust in God is the antidote for worry. I like that one sentence in the middle. Those subject to accident and disease, to earthquake and famine, to warfare and crime, need no reminder that life is tenuous. My doctoral advisor grew up in Beirut in the 80s. He said he could recognize fighter planes by the sound of them. He knew whose planes they were. Could you imagine as a kid living in a town that was constantly being bombed? There are people who live in Iran and Iraq. You know, what's happened in Iraq in the last 20 years? Well, there's people who've lived through all that. They have nothing, and they know that any given day it all goes away. But can you trust in God? That's probably the only thing they have to hold on to. If you've ever been in a situation where, well, Don Page said it this morning, all we have is today, we're not promised tomorrow. Is that what he said, something like that? Yeah. All we have is today, and I think we sold them, and they're not even promised the whole day. But if you've ever been in a situation where tomorrow's not promised, and you understand that, sometimes it's a little bit easier. But if you've never been in a situation like that, you might miss it. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They never sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? What do birds eat? Elijah? Birds eat worms and little corn. And what?
Bird seed.
All right. They eat bird seed at Sandy's house, don't I? Sandy's got a bird feeder, so I know he eats bird seed over there. What else do birds eat? Is that all? Yes, that's very true. In my house, as the hurricanes damage the trees, some of the limbs die. There's still big limbs. And the woodpeckers will make big holes, get the worms in there, the bugs in there, but then they will nest in the big holes. But you will find owls that like to sit on the limbs because owls like to eat baby woodpeckers. So, yeah, that's a thing. So, crazy as it is. All right, what else do they eat? Buzzards eat roadkill, John? Oh, hummingbirds eat Sprite. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. They eat sugar water. Elijah? Eagles' main prey is fish. They will eat smaller birds. Gary Foreman and Mark Sees will tell you over at Orlando Wetlands that the eagles fly in every day and they sweep the lake looking for fish. If they don't see an appropriate fish, they will grab a coot. And you'll find along the paths, you'll find a big pile of feathers where they have attacked and eaten a coot. And it looks like a coot just exploded is how they look. It is the most, Gary, I was over with Gary one day and he goes, that's one right there. And it's, you would just swear the bird exploded. All it is feathers. They've eaten everything else. But, and apparently coots are very good eating, although typically people don't eat them, but they don't, they eat plants. So they're a very clean bird. So they don't eat fish. All right, and there's another one. Birds eat fish. So mammals, crustaceans. I have a picture of a blue heron, a series of pictures of a blue heron eating an amphioma, which is like this long. It's an amphibian. They also eat sirens, which are the same way, giant salamanders, snakes. Great blue herons, as I've found out, have to be the beasts of the wetlands. They will eat baby alligators, baby ducks. They will eat frogs. They will eat anything. If it looks like, yes, if they can catch it and they spear it with that bill and then they eat it and they will eat anything. So birds eat, do they grow their own food? Do they grow all these great things everywhere from worms and a little bit of corn and bird seed all the way up to fish and coots? Then they grow it? No, they let us go do that. There's no bird Publix, right? So they didn't go to the bird Publix to get it. The bird McDonald's, little bird drive-thru. What's that?
None that we know of.
But it's there. You see many hungry birds around? Starving birds? They are. They exist. But by and large, birds are fed. Do they store it up for later? As Chuck said, with buzzards, they do. They just, well, we'll eat a little bit now. We'll come back later. And they, you know, there's a dead deer out by Cracker Barrel. They're not going to eat that all in one day, you know. So, yeah, they kind of leave it. But how long? It's not like I get bird freezers, right? Bird storerooms, stock rooms. They don't have any of that kind of stuff. So they can't stock it up, right, very long. Oops, do they go hungry? They don't go hungry. By and large, they don't go hungry. If there's not enough of their food here, they'll go somewhere else. After the hurricane, I saw a in my yard, the first day, I saw a reddish heron. The only place I've ever seen reddish egret. The only place I've ever seen reddish egrets are out in the wetlands. I saw a roseate spoonbill in my neighbor's driveway fishing there. We do not have spoonbills in my neighborhood, but there was water everywhere, so they went everywhere. Hey, food's everywhere. So, but when that dries up, you know, for another 20 years, I won't see a roseate spoonbill in my neighborhood. So are we more of more value to God than birds? Are you sure? Did Jesus die for birds? That might be the dumbest question, but did he die for birds? For the salvation of birds? Did he die for the forgiveness of bird sin? He didn't. That's how valuable we are. In Genesis 1:26-28, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So right there, we're already more valuable because we're made like God. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven. So we're more valuable than birds because we have dominion over them, over the livestock and over the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth and is eaten by great blue herons. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. We have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. That's how valuable we are to God. We have dominion of everything. Matthew 6:27 depends on what kind of version of your Bible you got, and we'll kind of look at each one at the same individually, even though it probably doesn't much matter. But in the ESV, it says, and which of you being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? And the New King James says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So let's look at the time thing. How long are you going to live? Don't know. Anyone want to guess? Till you die. Ooh, there's a good answer right there. Okay. The young people's answer is typically different than those of us with a little age on us. How long are you going to live, Chase? Pick it right now. How long? How long are you going to live? 25? Sure? If I'm young, I wouldn't shoot for 25. I'd shoot higher than that. Come on, pick an age. 40. Yeah. 40, you're just worn out, and it's gross after 40, okay? I had to start wearing glasses at 40. It's just downhill. Just there you go. You're not old till you get to 100. I know as I was a kid, I remember one time at Wendy's, me and my sister were with Dad, and I offered him the senior discount. And we laughed and laughed and laughed because he was 40. Okay? So I'm older today than the first time I saw my dad get a senior discount offered to him. I don't think anybody's ever offered me a senior discount, although at Taco Bell, I've had them just hand me a free drink. So I don't know. Maybe that's their way of doing the senior discount. And the guy at Aliens, Cheeto, swears that Grant and Jamie are my grandkids. So he's always like, oh, you bring the grandkids to Lynn? No, they're not my grandkids. They're my kids. So anyways. Yeah, maybe so. It's this awesome color of white right now. Why would I want anything less than that? People dying to have color like this. All right. Anybody else got a guess on how long they're going to live? Anybody want to live older than 40? John's aiming for higher than 40, right? It's between 70 and 100. That's a good gauge. That's a good age. I think long enough to see your grandkids grow up. Yeah. But yeah, that's it. Long enough to be a burden on your kids. Is there anything you can do to increase the odds of a longer life? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can do to increase the odds of a longer life. Name one. Not smoke. They claim smoking takes 11, each cigarette takes 11 minutes off your life. Drinking? Yeah. Right, probably 2 weeks ago, I saw a report that they tie a lot of cancers to alcohol. So right now, science is saying that's a possibility that, you know, if you drink and drive, you've just increased your odds by not combining the two. Eat healthy, yeah, there you go. Eat healthy would be the key. Camille has been put on a diet, and I've been playing along and eating with her. I made the mistake yesterday that I burned more calories. My Fitbit said I exercised more calories than the food I took in, beyond the fact that I would burn 2,500 calories just being alive. So that was a kind of a mistake. But anyways, yeah, eat right to avoid problems of obesity, diabetes, gout, cancer. There's a lot of stuff that better eating can make you live longer. Elijah? Yeah, not doing drugs. A lot of the reason they're illegal is because they alter your DNA. And then the addiction problems that go with it put you in some sketchy situations that you may end up, they make you weird, and you may end up dead. So there's a lot of stuff you can do to increase the odds. But even if you don't smoke, which cuts 11 minutes off of your life for every cigarette, it doesn't tell you that when you go through the stoplight out here today, somebody's talking on a phone driving, it might shorten your life a lot longer than any cigarette you ever smoked. So that's the realistic odds that we realize too. A friend of mine, when he sees older people, especially somebody when he knows somebody that's in their 90s or whatever, he says, well, you must have really loved your parents. And that goes to Ephesians 6, 1 through 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and father. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So if you have a long life, if you're into your 80s, it's because you love mom and dad. Okay? There you go. I highly recommend that for kids, too. You hear me, Chase? Love mom, you'll live long. Okay? Can you guarantee it? We obviously, nobody here is going to guarantee it, right? Life insurance companies will take a gamble on it, but they won't guarantee it. So yeah, there's no guarantee of long life. If we worry about it, can we add a single hour? A single hour, equivalent to not smoking 5 cigarettes. Can we get that back just by worrying about it? In all likelihood, you're going to shorten your life by worrying about it. Your blood pressure is going to go up. You're not going to sleep. You're going to shorten it. Who's really in control? Who's in control, Daniel? God is. Very good. Look at that answer. See, the teen class really adds to this class. All right, going to the other one. Which you, by worrying, can add 1 cubit to a stature. What distance is 1 cubit? About 18 inches. Was it from the elbow to the tip of their, something like that. And it varied by the king, so I think they say 18 to 22 inches. But 18 standardly accepted. So a foot and a half. Who here would like to be a foot and a half taller? I think I got that question on there too. Sandy's looking, whoa, I could go for another foot and a half. There you go. No, yeah, Publix's got those high counters. Yep. It's always that way. I've gone to these warehouse stores. It's like, what I want is up there. So, yeah. I took Amir to basketball last weekend, and me and him went to a barbecue restaurant in Coco. He goes, you know, I'm the tallest person in this entire restaurant. I didn't let him know that he had the least money in his pocket, too, but, you know. Just to knock him down a level, because I can't. But he took pride in the fact that he was the tallest person in the whole restaurant. So, who'd like to be 18 inches taller? To be honest, I don't think I want to be 18 inches taller. I didn't make 6 foot, and I would like to be. I'd like to be 6 foot tall. The stairs to get in the attic. We have to go in there for VBS and stuff a lot of times, and the little loop. If I stand on my toes. If I jump a little bit, I can grab it, but I got to jump to get it. So usually Steve has to actually get the stairs down. But yeah, I go for a foot and a half. I don't know that I want to be 7'5", 7'4". You know, that's a little tall. Wilt Chamberlain claimed he never bumped his head on stuff because he was used to that. But a lot of us, you know, I bump my head on stuff. Yeah, 6'9", 6'10", yeah. Yeah, so you'll see, even like Bubba, I think Bubba's 6'7", but he ducks. Every doorway he goes under, he ducks just in case one's not standard. So, yeah, that's how you'd live with it. You'd learn. What can you do to grow 18 inches? Or even a half inch? Who wants to try it today? Okay. Chase is still growing. Daniel, you still growing? Maybe. You're getting close to the end of it, aren't you? Elijah, you still growing? Okay, those guys, what can they do to grow? Eat right, milk, exercise. I know exercised muscles will actually make bones stronger and you'll actually grow. So, okay. But the rest of us, what would it take for me to grow 1 inch taller? Ooh, hi. Pompadour. There you go, the high heels, like the I don't know, Napoleon era shoes. They get the men's shoes that, yeah, there you go. So, but other than that, just ain't gonna happen, right? So who's really in control? God's in control. I can't make that happen. There's nothing I can do to make myself grow a whole inch taller. Whether Jesus is referring to a person's height or length in their life, it's clear that he's putting a firm limit on what worrying can do. Worrying is futile, so why engage in it? It's from Leon Morris in The Gospel. And I never worry about the bells either because I don't control those. So Matthew 6, 28 through 29. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory has not arrayed like one of these. Do plants take care of themselves? They do at my house. Okay. Plants outside, do they take care of themselves? Kinda. Can they move around or migrate to gather what it takes to survive? We talked about birds in my neighborhood that didn't belong there because the food was there. Can that juniper tree out there pick up and move somewhere else because it's bothered with the lights that stay on 24 hours a day? What's that? There are no triffins? Yeah, there you go. They were also in the Lord of the Rings. The Ents were trees that were warrior trees. And if you're a fan of the Guardians of the Galaxy, I am Groot. I am Groot. There you go. So they can't really move around. How do they get what they need to survive? God provides, right? Got the sun, you got water, you got soil for nutrients. God provides for them to grow. He gives it. Tell me some of the most amazing plants you've ever seen. Or do you have your own list? Venus flytraps are really cool. They really are. And I know there are some places those things grow wild, and I'd always want to go see some of that. Anybody else got anything else? I've been to see the giant sequoia. You guys been there? Yeah. They're amazing, aren't they? Some of the ones they cut down in the 1800s, the sawdust is still in a pile because it doesn't disintegrate. It doesn't break down. The stumps are big enough you could build a house on them. You can climb up on these stumps. And just they're the coolest. That's all I can say. You can't get a decent picture of a sequoia, and they're just so big. I've been to see bristlecone pines, the oldest trees on the planet. They grow high altitudes on the backside of a cliff. Oh yeah, there's the bristle cones. They're just nasty environments. That's where they grow. And you know, for trees, they say there's some bristlecone pine trees that are 5,000 years old. That's amazing to me. The Titan arum, world's largest flower. They track that. You'll find it on the internet sometimes that they got one blooming. They get up to 10, 12 feet for the flower. They're native to, I don't know, Papua New Guinea or someplace like that. But they have them in these botanical gardens and greenhouses, and they hand pollinate them, and they grow. And they call it a corpse flower because it smells like a corpse. So, but I always wanted to go see one. I've seen them on the internet, seen them with the live cams, but I would still like to actually go see one. Chuck? Yeah. This one are neat. I've seen people do the time lapse photography. They'll set a camera and they'll take pictures every 5 minutes or whatever. And that is just, it is. It's cool. Sunflowers, they rotate. God gave them these properties. They care, you know, He gave them these properties. To think King Solomon was more splendidly attired than any of these plants. And, you know, as much as he could buy, it says he wasn't. So, you know, I like I said, I like trees. How long does the beauty of a plant last? flowers only last a few days, typically. Some of them will bloom longer, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Why does he put so much bother into something that's so short-lived? Even a tree that's 5,000 years old. Why does he put so much bother into making sure that stuff takes... Because it's his. It's one of it. But won't he have even more concern for us? God's a big tree guy. I know that. But he has even more concern for us. All right. You got the idea. Don't worry about stuff. You can't change it anyways. Be concerned. Verse 6, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I think the moral of this whole thing is, if you're seeking after the worldly stuff, if you're seeking after even the physical needs, that won't fulfill it. Seek after God, because he fulfills these needs anyways. So next week, Michael will be teaching. I was going to put "Don't worry, be happy" in there just for Steve. Next week, Jesus and Challenges, Matthew 7:13 through 23. And Michael will be teaching then. So thank you.